electricity is a mystery. No one has ever observed it or heard it or felt it. We can see and hear and feel only what electricity does. We know that it makes light bulbs shine and irons heat up and telephones ring. But we cannot say what electricity itself is like. We cannot even say where electricity comes from. Some scientists think that the sun may be the source of most electricity. Others think that the movement of the earth produces some of it. All anyone knows is that electricity seems to be everywhere and that there are many things to do to bring it forth. This is Ask an Atheist. My name is Sam, and with me today is Mike.
I need a drink.
And Jeremy, how you doing?
Pretty good.
And none of what I just read is true.
No, I've felt electricity many times and seen it many times.
Yeah, I've been burnt by electricity. This comes to us from a Bob Jones University textbook, which is describing electricity in a very unusual way, and it's been around for a long time. I mean, this I've seen this thing float around, but I saw it again recently, and it made me wonder a question, and I sort of bring it to you guys, and I bring it to the show in general today, is I have a collection of, I don't know what else I would call it, you know, just sort of religion propaganda. I have a collection of Jack Chick tracks. You got me a copy of Pandas and People.
Yeah.
I have about 30 hours of L. Ron Hubbard basically talking to himself.
So essentially you have a religious porn stash.
I have a religious porn stash, indeed. And that's the kind of thing, is it's the dirty parts of people's minds as far as I describe it. And I love this stuff. I love reading about it. I think it's crazy. You know, every time there's a religious radio show that tends to go a little strange, I love listening to it. There's an online radio station that is basically the conspiracy channel that I listen to nigh constantly. And I bring this question to you guys today. Is this moral? Is this okay in the context of being an atheist? Is it okay for me to be a fan of these things and sometimes buy them?
It's perfectly normal and natural to have a healthy interest in religion. But just like any porn search, you can take things too far.
Okay.
I don't see a problem with it. I mean, obviously, you have a different fandom.
Yeah.
Then the intended audience.
Right.
The intended audience takes this very seriously. So when you, for instance, go onto eBay and buy a copy of Pandas and People or that Bob Jones textbook, you're not buying it with the same intent as, say, the Texas State Board of Education.
No,
who
not
wants
at
to
all.
Treat this like actual science. You want to sort of giggle at it.
Yeah.
The Bob Jones Texas State Board of Education. Wait.
No, the
Texas State Board of Education wants to endorse the Bob Jones College level textbook as actual science.
Yeah, this is pretty standard. In Texas, there have been a number of battles over the State Board of Education where they get young earth creationists on the board and they try to pass these textbook standards that allow for things that simply aren't credible. And because Texas has such pull, they're such a big state, textbook companies will often print textbooks to the Texas standard.
Especially since Texas has a lot more specific requirements for textbooks than bigger states like California and New York. That's part of the way they do it. If these other bigger states wanted to change things, they could, but it's really Texas's industry, and they don't want to start, I guess, a war between the states again, if you would. So they sort of leave it alone. But that's sort of my question. I'm asking you guys, and if you call in today, I'm probably going to ask you the same question. Is it okay for me to be into this? Is this?
But Sam, if your concern is that your fandom of this stuff is keeping the industry alive, I wouldn't worry about it.
No, because clearly not.
Your sort of fandom, the people who buy Chick Tracks off the website so they can giggle at it with their friends.
Yeah.
That isn't the lion's share of the people who give this guy money.
I am pretty careful. I try not to buy from the original source so that I'm not actually bringing profit to them, but that sometimes to get at the good stuff, I can't.
This is why things like, if you're
your dealer?
If you are
eBay, actually.
eBay, that's a great example. If you are concerned about this sort of stuff, eBay is a great place because, one, the original publisher, the original author isn't getting a cent of your money, or if you go to a bookstore and they have a remainders bargain section, you're buying it from basically a stock of books that are, there's way too many of them, so they're selling them at a discounted price. The publisher doesn't get a dime of that.
Okay. So it'd be okay to buy Glenn Beck's biography then?
Yes. If you go to Barnes & Noble or another used bookstore and you see a copy of Sarah Palin's book or Dianetics, you can drop $5 on that and not worry about those people getting any of your money.
I mean,
the Dianetics copy will be brand new.
Oh, yeah. Also. Absolutely. I mean, I'm not going to change my furtive reading habits here. I enjoy it too much. But I do want to know what people think of it. So if you can go to askanatheist.tv and click on the red candy-like button or give us a call at 253-584. 1480, and let us know what you think about it. That'd be great. Now, you do something very similar, Jeremy, with a certain book we were talking about just before the show started, right?
Yeah, I went looking for a copy of A Purpose-Driven Life.
Oh, okay.
Purely to ridicule it, because I'd heard an excerpt from it from another comedian, and I was like, well, that's certainly not the only gem in this gold mine of ignorance. And
you're talking about the Rick Warren bestseller.
Yes. Claiming to be one of the best-selling books in the history of humanity.
The Saddleback megachurch leader. Mm-hmm. Saddleback, of course, not being a euphemism.
Not at all.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what I ended up picking up, which was sitting right next to it, was a book by a man called Richard Cohen called Coming Out Straight, which offered a radical new cure for homosexuality. If self-denial and shame are new. I don't know. But that's basically... Richard Cohen, interestingly, is gayer than... Richard Simmons dipped mm-hmm. in glitter and thrown onto a rainbow. He's the gayest looking person I've ever seen in my life. It's very interesting.
And he wrote a book about coming out straight then.
Yes, yes, yes.
And it's got you do a whole bit on this.
Oh yeah, it's hilarious. It's a 300-page Freudian slip, basically. When you include the pictures and the charts and the things in it, it's just very, very frightening. And it's like MASH, scream or laugh. Those are your options with this book.
Right on. So speaking of comedy, we have an announcement to make. The next Ask an Atheist live event, comedy event, is coming up next month. It'll be September 7th, which is a Friday this time. And it's going to be sort of a soft launch or sort of a representation of a comedy thing that you did sometime back.
Actually kind of straddling the ground a little bit between comedy and more storytelling, the Delivered from Dogma project I had a few years back, mm-hmm. working on integrating comedy and religion and kind of attacking the underpinnings of what makes religion a problem, which is obviously dogma.
Right.
Yeah, we're thinking about repackaging that and going into the college market with it.
Okay.
So, that's where we're going with that, and we'll also have some other great comedians there as well.
Yeah, so that's Friday, September 7th. We're still putting it together, but we've confirmed the date, and just check the website for details.
I actually think this ties the two things we just talked about together, where on one hand you're talking about the dogma aspect of it and the humor aspect of religion.
Yeah.
That really what Sam is seeing is exactly what you're talking about, Jeremy, which is on one land, religion is funny.
Yeah.
That there's a lot of claims that are just
I don't care what religion you are. Some religion is funny. Yeah.
And the clip that you read from that Bob Jones University book only strengthens that point. But then there is that other aspect that separates from other ridiculous things that people say, which is that people actually believe it, the dogma factor, the second part of what Jeremy talked about.
Right.
And you get this weird mix of emotions that I always get whenever I look at bizarre religious beliefs and then realizing that somebody very politically influential thinks this is true.
Yeah. And you gotta laugh, because if you don't laugh, something worse might happen.
Well, you'll certainly cry, at least.
Well, that's something you can do in the United States, something yeah. you can do in the Western world, where there's more opportunities for, where if you go out and say something against a religious person, you're not likely going to be shot. However, that's not true the world over, and that brings us to our first news story, which comes to us from the BBC. And this is a famous Somali comedian shot dead in Mogadishu. One of Somalia's best-known comedians was assassinated in Mogadishu by two unidentified men after leaving the radio station where he was a drama producer and performer. Abdi Jelani Marshall was a producer for his TV and radio shows where he made fun of Islamist fighters. He had recently been threatened by the militant group Al-Shabaab, though nobody has claimed responsibility for the assassination. Apart from airing dramas making fun of Al-Shabaab, Marshall was known for participating in a youth advocacy program aimed at preventing young Somalis from joining extremists. So, yeah.
Yeah, I wish this story was rare.
It's not. In fact,
not in Somalia, it's not.
Not in Somalia, not in other places. I mean,
not in an entire hemisphere.
There's the whole Egypt thing coming up, where there was the sort of the people-led revolution of the government there, which now looks like it's more and more going to be dominated by Islamist political parties, and you're going to see more and more of this stuff.
Actually, there's been numerous cases of people using Facebook being jailed by the new government because they post something that either denies the existence of Allah or Islam or mocks it or criticizes it in some ways. And it just makes you sad, the idea that people get together to try to take back their government, the idea of we want something that respects people, and really what you just end up is a different form of totalitarianism.
Now, I did start this up by saying that it's safer to do this in the United States, but there's a difference between safer and safe, is there not, Jeremy?
Oh, yeah, you're never absolutely safe, obviously, and you pick your battles when you're on the road.
So have you run into any trouble like this while you were on the road?
I've run into more local trouble. So we're a military town. I used to do a bit about the girl who got rescued at the first part of the Iraq War
mm-hmm.
after a series of horrible mistakes landed her somehow in an Iraqi hospital after getting captured.
Right.
And that was just a misunderstanding. In terms of talking about religion on the road, you do pick your battles. You kind of check on it and see if you can go there, because they're paying for a show.
Right.
They're not necessarily paying for a show all about religion. They would like to talk about whatever they'd like to talk about. That's what you talk about.
Right.
Oddly enough, though, you can get into more trouble talking about NASCAR, it seems, than religion. A slight jab at NASCAR sometimes will send people into a fury.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's, okay, honestly, not too surprising in some states. Similarly, you probably couldn't talk bad about the Red Sox in Boston. I mean,
well, yeah, but
or well about the Yankees.
That's true. So our next story, well, Gore Vidal recently passed on. I mostly know him from Myra Breckinridge, to be honest with you. I don't know a whole lot about the guy, but he's an author, a commentator, a controversial politician, and a humanist. And he was honorary president of the American Humanist Association. And he wrote, "Of course, I have been very much aware of the AHA for some years. I knew and admired Isaac Asimov and his work. As for Kurt, I would be most honored to succeed my old friend as honorary president of the association, although he himself is hardly easy to replace. I will do my best to fill the great gap. I think my religion is the same as his and yours and does not derive from cloudy divinity, but from a man in Athens called Socrates who once observed, the unexamined life is not worth living. So I would like to help the AHA to encourage others and realize that life, no matter how shadowed by superstition, is worth living, and the AHA is always in a position to encourage much-needed examiners." So the AHA went on to write, "The progressive and humanist values Gore Vidal repeatedly espoused moved the culture in a positive direction," said David Neosi, president of the American Humanist Association. "He spent his life pointing out the places in society that needed the most attention and without worrying who might be embarrassed or upset by his opinions." And that's kind of the center of Gore Vidal. Let's be honest. He was a very controversial person, even more controversial than Hitchens, I would say.
Yeah, I can't imagine that. I really am not somebody who knows a lot about Gore Vidal, mostly through a reference to him on the Venture Brothers once. But it seems that the AHA has had no lack of really interesting honorary presidents over the past years. Isaac Asimov.
It was Isaac Asimov, then Kurt Vonnegut.
Kurt Vonnegut, one of my favorite authors. Yours too, I believe, Sam.
Yeah.
It's kind of amazing that they've got this kind of caliber of people.
It's more than just past. These were the last three. It was Isaac Asimov, then Kurt Vonnegut, then Gore Vidal. I mean, they pick very, apparently very important literary figures and sometimes very controversial ones. Kurt Vonnegut was no stranger to controversy when he was writing. I mean, they may read Slaughterhouse-Five in high school now, but once upon a time, people did not particularly care for that novel.
Yeah, that's pretty standard for Vonnegut, though. He was typically looked at as sort of a pulp writer in a lot of ways, and I think he made a remark once saying that his writing, the shelf that his writing was put into, was often mistaken but for a urinal by literary critics of his day.
Yeah.
He's somebody who didn't get real literary respect until later in his life.
Now, I put Gore Vidal in sort of the same box that I put H.L. Mencken, which I will say is not the same box I put Christopher Hitchens, which is he had some very interesting things to say, and he definitely pushed the borders of wider acceptance of all types of personalities and philosophies out there, but he wasn't without problems himself.
Yeah, I do know more about H.L. Mencken than I say about Gore Vidal, but yeah, H.L. Mencken was a racist in many ways.
Yeah.
Was an elitist in the sense that he basically thought that poor people should be allowed to just die.
Right.
There's a lot of views there that he had. Otherwise, on the other hand, he said a lot of things about creationism that are wonderfully quotable and smart and catchy. He was great at attacking religious dogma, though he wasn't exactly the best person.
Right.
And I've heard similar things about Gore Vidal in some more.
Yeah, Gore Vidal definitely held some ideas that are kind of racist, and are not even kind of in some ways, especially when he started talking about Zionism and stuff like that. So, once again, another person from his era, Isaac Newton, like H.L. Mencken, has passed on, and, well, they did some good work for us, but now that's just the way things go. Sometimes bad philosophies end because the people who hold them die.
I think it's good for us to talk about this, though.
Yeah.
I think that frequently, I guess you could say in our counterpart on the religious God-believing end of the radio spectrum.
Sure.
A lot of people don't want to acknowledge bad things about people that die.
Yeah.
And look at them in a very, I guess you could say, balanced way, that we want to accept the good, the bad, but that's the only way to learn about anything, rather than create these sort of secular saints.
Yeah, absolutely. And, but it's just what it is. So let's do a quick email. We have Alex from St. Louis, Missouri. And he writes, I do not understand death as an atheist. What happens after we die?
Probably nothing. I think I can't really say anything much more bluntly than that. There's no evidence of an afterlife, of a soul. There's no reason to believe that our consciousness continues and goes on to anything else. Yeah. We don't end up on the side of a taco. We don't end up in Valhalla. I don't see any reason that we're reincarnated.
If you had a lot of stuff, your family fights over it. That's what happens.
Yeah, your will gets executed. Mm. I mean, that's sort of the thing with our atheism is it comes from, it comes from what the evidence is. And there's no evidence for anything happening after death aside from legalistic stuff and your body decaying. That's what we know.
Hopefully you've led a good life and influenced people in a way that your example will live on. But no, in terms of your soul, we don't see anything.
But we're not nihilistic. We certainly care about the world. We care about what we leave behind because we live in the world that other dead people left behind.
Right.
But also it gives your life a sense of urgency, that there's a sense that I don't have forever, that if I don't say I love you or I'm sorry or please forgive me to somebody else, I'm not going to get that extra chance in the afterlife to have forever to say it. So it gives you this incentive to live life right now.
Absolutely. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And if I sounded a little stilted, we were talking about Gore Vidal, it's because I was trying to figure out if I should mention Caligula or not. We're going to go to the break. When we come back, we're going to talk some more emails.
Looking to sell or buy a home or other property in Edmonton, Alberta, and surrounding areas? Plant your roots and invest in this entrepreneur-friendly area with world-class education and healthcare. Demand a professional and call Dawn Summers of Professional Realty Group at 780-237-4718 and let him work with you to achieve your goals, save your time, and protect your investment. Contact Dawn Summers of Professional Realty Group at dndrealty.ca. It's time you hired a professional.
Need a break from the theistic world?
Live in the Seattle area?
Like the Flying Spaghetti Monster?
Whether you're an ardent non-believer, steadfast agnostic, or marauding Pastafarian, check out the award-winning nonprofit organization Seattle Atheists.
Socialize at the Third Thursday Meetup, attend lectures, come camping, donate blood.
Connect at seattleatheists.org.
Seattle Atheists, we believe in you.
Doyle's Public House is Tacoma's number one spot for the best selection of import brews and Irish whiskey.
Football matches and Red Sox games, knowledge night and no cover live music.
Doyle's is your spot.
Check us out at doylespublichouse.com or stop by for a proper libation and soda bread at 2nd and St. Helens Avenue in Tacoma.
Like us on Facebook for all the latest updates and specials.
Doyle's in Tacoma.
2nd and St. Helens Avenue in Tacoma. doylespublichouse.com.
Stop throwing money away.
Shop with NetPro Ink and Toner and save up to 60% off your printing cost. All of our compatible cartridges have a 100% full year quality guarantee. Visit us at www.netprotx.com. That's NETPROTX.com.
So you're on your Monday morning drive, and someone on Ask an Atheist says something that really, really gets your goat. You want to talk, you want to yell, you want to scream, and clicking the shiny red candy-like button just isn't good enough. Good! Call us! Leave us a message! Call Ask an Atheist at 206-420-0997 and vent your spleen now and for the future! That's 206-420-0997 and wait for the tone.
Welcome back. This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And we're doing news and emails today, which I think are some of my favorite episodes, personally. And we've got a doozy for you now. And this comes to us from Veronica from the internet. What is the reason for you not having a greater power above you? I believe in the Lord and I always will. I go to the Church of Christ and it is never too late to change your mind. You should change your mind because what you are doing is wrong. Thank you for your time, dash, 11-year-old girl. And let me tell you something. if this email is 11 years old, so are we.
Yeah, I don't buy that. There's little things that give you the impression that someone might be a faker. The interesting thing is that generally people who are like this make a lot of typos, but they make certain kind of typos.
Right.
They don't make the sort of typo where they use the wrong your. They usually use the Y-O-U-R, your, and use that sort of universally. They don't use the one with the apostrophe on accident. Right. Nobody knows how to use that one. So little hints like that. However, there are people exactly like this in the world, so we want to answer it on its face at the same time.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I got a feeling, though, that if the person writing this email could have submitted it in crayon, they would have.
Oh, yeah. They could have. I mean, if they'd had access to a scanner.
Yeah, they could have. That's true.
So, I guess getting to Veronica's question, what is the reason for you not having a greater power above you? Because I do not believe that I have a greater power above me. And why is that? Because there is no evidence that there is.
Well, I believe there are powers greater than mine. I think, Rupert Murdoch probably has more money and more power than I do. I think most churches have more money and more power than I do.
The power of Hulkamania.
Yeah, the power of Hulkamania is in fact greater than mine. The son of Jor-El, whatever. There are powers greater than mine, even fictional ones, just because of the influence they have on people. What I don't believe in is a supernatural power. And clearly that's what she's asking. But the idea is that because I don't say that there's a supernatural power greater than mine, therefore I am the most powerful being in the universe, that's crap. That's not what I believe. That's not an accurate reflection.
But that's the trying to insinuation that she's making.
Exactly.
Which is that I'm somehow not humble if I'm not underneath something.
Right.
I don't want there to be a king of the universe. I don't want there to be this greater supernatural power.
Yeah.
It just isn't. It doesn't mean that I'm immoral. It doesn't mean that I am, I am a man god. I don't believe any of that, like you said, Sam.
Yeah, I don't want an emperor of the known worlds. I don't want these things.
Yeah, I just don't see it there. That's what makes me an atheist, is a lack of evidence.
Right. It is like a sophisticated thing here, too, where it's, why don't you believe in any greater power? And then in the next sentence, it's instantly Jesus.
Right.
I go to the Church of Christ, you're rung up for not believing exactly what I believe. That sort of thing where you're arrogant if you don't believe in a greater power, and you're an idiot if you don't believe in the exact same one I do.
Well, it's such
a... I don't need 11-year-old girls telling me I'm an idiot. She's going to believe in a greater power if she tells me that to her face.
Okay. It's a common thing. It's the way, Michael Behe does his poking in Evolution. It's the way that Pat Robertson did his thing. Which Robertson?
Pat Robertson is a guy in the 700 Club. Pat Buchanan is a guy on political TV.
Hey, I got it right this time. But the idea is that, look, I found this hole in the scientific, in scientific theory, therefore Jesus. They don't actually, they see just making the entry into the argument, making a claim against science, means that Jesus wins. There are still other steps that need to be taken. Extra biblical steps, too. You can't just say, there's a hole in science, read this book, it's true.
Because even if the initial argument proved the existence of a God, it doesn't necessarily prove your God. Because, Muslims creationists use the exact same arguments you do, Veronica.
Absolutely.
If a God-type creature showed up as honest skeptics and was just showing up and doing stuff, we would have to take a hard look at it and admit it. But there's no evidence at all.
Right.
So the first sentence, why don't you believe in a greater power, is because there's no evidence.
Yeah, yeah. Now, I think that this email, like I said, if this is an 11-year-old girl, and all of us sitting at the table here are 11-year-old girls, but I think that the person in this email is doing something that I have seen more and more on my porch, which is people going door-to-door knocking for their religion, and they have the shield child with them. It's like, you can't say bad things to me. Look, I have a kid.
This is why terrorists tend to hold up in elementary schools, because they want to make you afraid to bomb that school.
Right.
So if you go and you're a Jehovah's Witness at your door and they've got
Red Dawn.
Well, they have a 5-year-old with you. You're not going to tell this person that they're crazy or that they're mean or that they're bigoted, because you're going to be afraid to say that to them in front of their kid, and they're counting on that.
Right, right. Have you encountered that at all? The shield child?
I live in a secure building now, so I do not get the religious people come. I can't get UPS packages if I work that day.
Yeah.
So the Jehovah's Witnesses would have to rappel down the side of the building to get to me at this point.
And let me tell you, I am going to be just as polite to you. I'm actually going to be a little less polite to somebody who brings a kid with them, because I'm going to say outright what you're doing is dangerous.
Yeah,
what you're doing is hiding behind a kid. How courageous is that?
Yeah, I have no problem. I'm not gonna use profanity in front of them.
Right.
In front of the kid. I'll give you that. Jehovah's Witnesses, Mr. Mormon missionary. If you bring a kid with you, I will not swear in front of you.
Okay.
But I will have no hesitation to tell you that you're wrong and why I feel you're wrong.
Yeah. I generally don't swear to people who knock on my door, just out of polite reasons. But I have to religious people who refuse to not get in my face about things. And if it goes that route, I'm going to hold back no more and no less than I already am.
But that's an escalation. That's them bringing it to that point.
Yeah.
I'm not going to instigate that escalation into anger.
Yeah.
But if they start yelling at me, they have to realize, hey, you came to my house.
Right.
Why are you picking a fight? You have a right to get angry if I show up at your door at 9 a.m. on a Saturday and start talking to you about Darwin.
So this is something that we would like to do as a show, is atheist response to people who knock at your door. So if you have a story about door knockers, you can go to askanatheist.tv and click on the Ask a Question button and give us your story, and it'll probably appear on the show sometime in the future. So we have a news story here, and it has an interesting link to a topic that I rose and screamed about a little bit a couple weeks ago, which was the Ref 74 thing. But what I linked the Ref 74 story to was what happens when they post the Ten Commandments in your classroom. And as it turns out, this happens. And a Tennessee school officials have been posting the Ten Commandments in county schools. And this is Fentress County, Tennessee. And they have recently had a town meeting in support of the Ten Commandments being posted in every classroom. In September, Daryl Raines, principal of the Pine Haven Elementary School, received a complaint about the religiously based school posting, which was subsequently ignored. So somebody complained, they said, oh, who cares? But somebody figured out that wasn't going to work. And then a second complaint was received and filed with the school board, causing the schools to take down the Ten Commandments. Great. However, it doesn't end there. A large majority of the community came together Thursday to voice their opposition to the decision. We advised everyone last Monday night that it's time we took more of an offensive on this issue of taking prayer out of the schools, taking Ten Commandments out rather than backing up, the Fentress County Commissioner Ray Buck said. The commissioner of the schools.
The commissioner's name is Ray Buck.
Yeah, it is Ray Buck. Oh, sounds Tennessee. Like a Left Behind guy,
trying
actually.
Trying to keep these states like Tennessee, Alabama, and Mississippi from putting religion in schools is kind of like trying to keep a 5-year-old with ADD in the corner for an whole afternoon while also watching a DVD. Your eyes are not on him every second. He's just sneaking back in there.
I like the sense that they have, and this is something I hear a lot when these sorts of debates, which is that the majority of people in this county feel this way, therefore we have the right to use a state institution to force it on the rest of those people. And I'm sorry, but
that is a huge slippery slope.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Not only is there a possibility that you may be on the business end of that someday, but the fact is that rights, the Constitution, they do not work that way. And in fact, the amendments of the Constitution are most explicitly written in the opposite intent, the idea that the majority shouldn't have the right to push these things. So, and you have something like the separation of church and state. You have something like freedom of speech. That's not there to protect the popular view because it typically doesn't need protection. What it's there to do is to protect that angry mob like this from basically forcing their beliefs on the small group.
There's a new angle here, though, that we need to talk about. And it's interesting because we used to talk about how, America is not a Christian, or we still talk about how the U.S. is not a Christian nation. And it's important to talk about America as not an explicitly Christian nation because there's a new angle to this. And state legislation in Tennessee was recently passed to allow historical documents to be displayed in public places. And this was written specifically so that the Ten Commandments can be redone as a historical document rather than a religious document, allowing it to be posted anywhere. So if I were king of the world, or if I were the guy in charge of the opposition to this, I would start asking that parts from the Quran be classified as historically important documents and posted everywhere in public. I would ask that, the OT3 story about Xenu be classified as a historical document and posted
everywhere.
Couldn't
Mein Kampf be listed as a historical document?
Absolutely. Anything.
The Communist Manifesto.
Anything at this point. But the reason they're passing this is so that they can allow their religion to have a privileged position in the educational institution so they can put the Ten Commandments everywhere, and they're not going to treat it like a historical document. Oh, no. They're going to point to that and say, these are the rules you live by. Do this or you get kicked out of the school.
That's the first of two things. There are two reasons that I see behind this. The first one, like you said, the privileged position, Sam.
Yeah.
That this is them putting their stamp of ownership on everything, especially state institutions. So we're talking courthouses, we're talking public schools, we're talking legislation buildings. They want to give you the sense that, oh, by the way, we own this, we're the majority. Isn't it great to be reminded how we're right all the time?
Right.
And then there's number two, which is that I think these people actually believe this does something constructive.
Yeah, they do.
They want to get, like, prayer put back in schools. They want the Ten Commandments posted anywhere.
You can pray in schools.
Yeah, you can. But, I mean, they want teacher-led prayer. The reason they want this in there is...
Yeah, but they use that terminology, prayer in schools, to say that no one can pray in schools. Which
that's called a lie.
Yeah.
but they think that this honestly has some sort of constructive effect where it's going to bring down, like, school violence. It's going to bring up test scores. Teen pregnancy will go away. And I imagine you'll get double rainbow all the way across. And... You know, the birds will sing.
I will challenge you on that. I don't think they actually, I think they use that as excuses for posting the Ten Commandments. I think when they're trying to think of reasons to put the Ten Commandments in the schools, why do they want to put the Ten Commandments in the schools? Because it's their religion. They believe everybody should believe it. It's dominionist. It is dominionism. That's why they do it. But when they're looking for reasons to do it, that's when they reach for, it'll get rid of teen pregnancy and crime will go down and everybody will act nice and there will be birds in the street.
I think a certain degree of them, at least. I don't know if leaders believe it, but then again, it's irrelevant whether a religious believer, I mean, a religious leader believes something. It's just the mob that it really matters to. And when they say something like Hurricane Katrina happened because of the gays, they believe that God's taking his protection away from us because we're not stoning gay people anymore.
Right.
A lot of them really do seem to believe this.
I think that I really can't agree. I think they're doing it to bring on the millennial kingdom. I really think they're doing it for specifically ideological reasons. I really think the crime stuff and the idea that it creates a better secular society now is really just window dressing, even among most of them.
Now, these people consider themselves actually the put-upon minority in this country.
Right.
Against all evidence. But yeah. I agree with what you're saying, Sam. I'm just saying not exclusively that. I think it's a combination of these two things.
Okay. I guess I will agree with that, but I don't see the people pushing for this to be the people who think this is going to make it better. They're doing it for ideological reasons.
I can't find...
But they really do believe those ideological reasons make it better.
Okay. Right. All right. But I disagree. Yes, Jeremy.
I wouldn't say there's any biblical evidence that says posting the Ten Commandments around inside their little D&D world has some sort of talisman-like effect. Is that canon?
I agree with you that
is
it that doesn't canon? Actually have
it's
that effect.
Right. There, yeah. Well, I'm just saying even in their belief system, it doesn't seem to be a part of their belief system.
Yeah. So the thing about the ideology is they talk about how it's going to bring crime down. They talk about, but it's window dressing because they have an agenda. And some of their agenda right now, like we talked about last week, is making marriage between one man and one woman.
If posting the Ten Commandments in the South would bring crime down, there would be no crime in the South if anyone's ever been on an interstate down there.
However, we were talking about... We were talking about Referendum 74 and the you know marriage equality fight that's been going on. We heard a hilarious podcast this week. Let's see. It's Reverend Kevin Swanson of Generations Radio laments humanist forms of education in the spirit of Plato or Aristotle, for he believes it is bringing down our economy and ruining our children's characters. Reverend Swanson asserts the existence of a gay mafia and suggests that Muppets support NAMBLA in light of the Henson Company pulling out their partnership with Chick-fil-A. We have a clip of this.
Yeah, don't take our word for it.
Yeah.
Gay mafia.
Yeah, here we go. Oh, hang on.
Perspective ultimately brought the death penalty upon homosexuality between roughly 350 AD and roughly 1850 or so. So for about 1500 years, that form of life had pretty much been eliminated, except here and there. It was in the closet, but it was almost unheard of.
So first things first, he's talking about the executions of gay people.
By Christians.
By Christians,
being the norm.
Yeah, and a desired norm.
Yeah, and talking about that form of life being eliminated, that typically doesn't mean that something was made distasteful socially. He's talking about killing it.
Yeah. All right. And it goes on.
for over 1,000 years until recently. Of course, now you have a massive, massive increase of this kind of thing.
I'd say this is a really bad idea for somebody to stand up against the laws of God. And Dave, you realize that this is a brave venture. I mean, this has been about a 30-year plan, 40-year plan maybe, to completely consume America with a pro-homosexual agenda. And Dave, I just don't think it's going to last. I think you're going to see Jesus Christ coming up against this kind of thing.
Well, it's pretty obvious to anyone who's onlooking that tolerance only runs one direction.
Yeah.
You only can tolerate gays. You can't tolerate those who don't support gays.
You must tolerate my intolerance.
This is the biggest lie they tell folks.
Yeah. I'll tolerate your intolerance to a point when it doesn't go past words, but when you're calling for let's stone them to death, as he just did, that's more than intolerance.
Even if we take a much more liberal, progressive stance on being anti-gay, like not killing them,
yeah,
which is actually pretty liberal compared to the Bible, and you're talking about just passing legislation. When you talk about two-way tolerance, I got to ask, in what way are the gay folks passing laws to limit your rights? And I'm not just talking about, oh, our rights being taken away because we're not allowed to dominate other people and dictate the way they live their lives. I'm saying, in what way is your right to believe the stuff you believe being taken away? Are you being forced to not marry someone? Are you having your ability to be a teacher, a police officer, any kind of public worker being taken away from you? I don't see it.
But it gets worse.
And Kermit the Frog's not eating Chick-fil-A either.
No, they're pulling out that.
Yeah.
The Chick-fil-A used
the
to have
Muppet
like a
thing.
Have an association with Muppets, Happy Meals kind of thing. But Kermit the Frog doesn't want to be there anymore. Mm-hmm. Turns out that Kermit would not that interested in Miss Piggy. Maybe interested in another frog.
Maybe Dan Cathy should consider doing a frog fillet for one of the sandwiches.
A frog fillet?
A frog fillet, yeah. And Dave, you know that Sesame Street and the Muppets are probably going to take the sodomy route. And I don't know, do they support NAMBLA? I'm not sure. We should ask. We should ask if the Muppets support NAMBLA.
And that's where it ends.
Yeah. I love that the jump immediately from somebody's sexuality, not only to a sex act, sodomy,
yeah,
but they immediately go to child molestation.
Right.
There is no connection. I don't know how many times this has to be said, folks. There is as much to do between a grown man molesting a small boy and homosexuality as there is between a grown man molesting a little girl and heterosexuality.
Absolutely.
I don't know how much more this connection needs to be made. A child molester isn't doing this because they're attracted to the same sex. A child molester does this because they can't handle a healthy relationship where they're both vulnerable and an equal to their partner. They are abusing somebody, and they are abusing them because of power. And I find it so offensive that we continue to make this connection that does not exist. Shame on you.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. When we come back from the break, more emails and news.
Atheism TV. News, events, community, entertainment, debates, conferences, and more. A massive repository of over 3,000 recent and fascinating atheist videos from all over the internet. Or watch The Infidel, our own regular news show. Visit the shopping area and buy something for that special atheist in your life. Rent captivating shows, movies, and documentaries directly in your browser. Atheism TV, the world's number one source of atheist videos.
Billy, I am a Nigerian prince, and I want to hide $1 billion in your locker.
Wow, $1 billion?
All I need is your lunch money.
What a great deal. Here you go.
Wait, Billy. Just because you want to believe something doesn't mean you should. Come to Camp Quest Northwest, where you'll learn critical thinking and science in a fun-filled, week-long nature camp.
No!
Camp Quest Northwest can be found at campquestnorthwest.org. Donations and volunteers accepted. The devil is not real.
So, picking you up at 8 tonight?
Sure.
How do I get to your place again?
Get off the freeway, turn left at the burger joint, past the Humanist Center, right at the...
What? Humanist Center?
Yeah, you know, the place where freethinkers have their meetings, hold events, access the resource library, drop their kids off for daycare.
This could be you and your friends in the near future. Contribute to the Humanists of Washington Humanist Center Fund to establish a physical home for freethinkers in the Puget Sound. Go to humanistsofwashington.org and contribute today. That's humanistsofwashington.org.
Tacoma Telematics wants to help you connect with your clients. We can give you a top-notch web presence. Tacoma Telematics can take your website to the next level and make it an essential part of your business marketing, but that's not all. Want VoIP? We've got it, bringing large corporation phone systems capability at mom-and-pop prices. We build intuitive interfaces to help you manage your resources quickly and efficiently. Take advantage of our holistic approach to make your business communications succeed effortlessly. At Tacoma Telematics, we're committed to personal and professional integrity, open communication, and long-term relationships. See us at TacomaTelematics.com.
If you enjoy the programming we create on Ask an Atheist, please make a contribution with us. Your sponsorship keeps our show on the air and improves the quality of our broadcasts. Don't make us beg. Please go to AskAnAtheist.tv and contribute today.
This is Ask an Atheist, 253-584-1480. And we have a interesting email for you. This is Austin from Louisville, Kentucky. And he writes, I have listened to a few episodes of your show. I wanted to ask for your opinion on Satanism. I have researched it and wanted to hear another opinion on satanic principle and philosophy. The reason I ask an atheist is because your staff is very intelligent and have an insightful perspective. Mike.
I'm just going to say this. Satanism, there's two different kinds of Satanism. There's theistic Satanism, which is a very small group of people.
Yeah.
They get built up by these ex-Satanists who say that there's these covens of churches trying to convert. There's not that many of these people.
Yeah.
It's silly and stupid. Okay. Then there's a second group. There's this Church of Satan Anton LaVey group. You might recognize Anton LaVey because he kind of looks like Ming the Merciless from Flash Gordon, including the giant cape with a collar. It's basically sort of atheism, materialism, plus some weird kind of New Age woo stuff, plus this philosophy that sounds like something a 13-year-old boy who is angry at all the jocks would write, where it's like, oh, this is get your revenge on your enemies, and it's just, it's childish, and it's contrarian, and it's stupid, and I can't imagine anyone over the age of, like, 25 wanting to subscribe to it.
Have you encountered this at all?
No.
Not at all? Wow, okay.
No.
I've got a few friends who talk about it.
It's a nonsense word to me when someone says Satanist.
Yeah, I mean,
it's either a 14-year-old who's into cutting, or, like he said, just some philosophy that doesn't hold any water at all.
Yeah.
It's childish.
I have to say that, you know, I've got some friends who on Facebook and other places who talk about it, and it's dinner theater atheism in some way. It's people who really like the idea of being, going against the grain and just being, the opposition for opposition's sake.
Mm-hmm. And they like wearing capes?
Yeah. Oh, hey, capes are awesome. You know, and when they talk about atheism, when they talk about the lack of God, when they talk about the idea that they talk about Satanism as a philosophical point rather than as a supernatural one. Okay, that's interesting. I can have an intelligent conversation about that. When they start talking about the supernatural stuff, because even the Church of Satan guys have a supernatural component to their philosophies, then it gets a little creepy and weird, and I don't want a whole lot to do with it. So, I mean, it's, again, dinner theater atheism. I don't really know where else to go. We did a whole episode about the theistic Satanism conspiracy fad in the 80s when we talked about the Satanic Panic. But that was a different thing entirely. That was people who were claiming to be ex-Satanists and claiming to say that there was this basically child molestation factory under a daycare institution.
Yeah, this is just, you know, BS that, you know, these churches make up. But I guess I would say Satanism is kind of similar to something that Sam Harris once said about the Mormon Church, where he said it's that the Mormon Church is essentially Christianity plus some rather stupid ideas. Yeah. I would say that the Church of Satan is atheism plus some rather stupid ideas.
It's one of those things that, like, someone becoming outing themselves as Jehovah's Witness to you. If someone says, I'm a Satanist, I'm getting up and changing my seat on the Greyhound bus and regretting traveling by that fashion.
Fair enough. Our next email comes to us from Frank from Iowa. This statement by the North Korean gold medalist really made me think. I won first place because of the shining supreme commander Kim Jong-un gave me power and courage. Kim Un-guk, who who can tell me that's, oh, okay, who can tell me that that's not the most religious nation you've ever seen? Now they even have a complete trinity, Father, Son, and Spirit of the Granddaddy. This is what happens when you give unquestionable authority to the living, the dead, or the imaginary. This is why there are those among us who would speak up against such ultimate oppression of humanity. Yeah, absolutely. I recently wrote a post about this on the blog about how, you know, how when people talk to us about atheism, when apologetics guys come up and talk to us, they like to say, what, atheism has never killed anybody? And you can always hear them, that the next argument is always going to be about Mao, is always going to be about Lenin, is always going to be about Stalin. Because, yes, in communism, atheism was a tenet of that dogmatic philosophy. And this is why we talk about why I talk about dogma when people, you know, get the apologetics on us, because the people in, you know, communist China and the USSR and whatever, they are more like the people who I'm arguing against than they are like me. They have a dogma. This dogma is true no matter what. And any at variance that appears in reality, reality is wrong.
Yeah. And I think that in a more closed society like in North Korea, I mean, you can make the argument that China is closed to a certain extent, but it's much more open than North Korea, certainly.
Oh, Jesus, yes.
Oh, and essentially the dogma gets even crazier. I know that the North Korean soccer team actually lost a game, I believe, to the U.S. team maybe a year ago. And you know what the official excuse was, Jeremy?
No, I do not.
They said that the team had been struck by lightning before the game had begun, and this had hindered their ability to, I guess, bring the glorious workers' revolution of, you know, their
Kim
leader, Kim.
Have been on the lightning there and fix that for them?
I imagine. Maybe he was in a bad mood, because they did say that Kim Jong-il had the power to create the weather through his emotions.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is how absurd this sort of stuff gets. And when you get to this, this is the same thing a lot of these theocratic types get, which is that they want a more closed society.
Yeah.
They want blasphemy laws. They want to have the sort of backdrop against which nobody is allowed legally to criticize them. But this email actually prompted me to actually look up if North Korea had won any gold medals. They had. They've actually won like 4 or 5 medals so far, including a gold.
Yeah. Yeah. In the 2012 Olympics, right?
Yes.
Just overall.
Yes, in weightlifting. And I had a thought of how does the North Korean state media talk about the Olympics when they're obviously not going to win every event.
Right.
And it's just a given that any country is going to lose a majority of the events that they participate in. So how do they talk about the places where they lose? Do they lie and say they win everything? Or do they say that everyone else cheats?
I have a theory, actually. The Arirang Mass Games are going on right now. In North Korea, it's these huge displays of gymnastics and other weird and dancing and stuff like that. If you've ever seen the North Korean displays where they hold up big cards that create a mural of Kim Jong-il or Kim Il-sung or something like that, that's what these mass games are. Is they basically get the entire city of Pyongyang in one place holding up these cards and dancing around in support of the eternal president, or you know what the
the eternal president. That's,
yeah,
a frightening phrase.
That's a phrase. Yeah. And I'm guessing that they focus on the Arirang Games and they don't talk about the Olympics at all. That,
yeah.
I think it's just, it's when you have total control over the news, you can just say, no, we're not going to talk about that, and the people will not know.
Or they say they let us win. We let the other guy win.
Well, they do say that all of this foreign aid they give, actual food, is actual devotionals given to the great leader.
Yeah.
I mean, this is at the level of insanity that they regularly put out there to their people is staggering and can only exist in a completely closed system.
Absolutely.
Because there's one thing that deflates that, and that's laughter.
Well, let's bring it home. There are people, you know, they have total control over the media, and they do not talk about things that oppose their ideology. They do not talk about things which are against Juche philosophy. In the United States, anytime anybody talks about evolution, anytime anybody talks about, you know, science that encroaches upon biblical truths, they want it out of the media. They want it out of the textbooks. This is what the Dominionists want. They want control of the media. They want control of what you can think and what you can learn. In Texas, they wanted to get rid of critical thinking, although they say they don't want to get critical thinking. They just want to get rid of critical thinking. This is, how am I more like this than they are? How is atheism, the atheism visibility movement, which is based on rationalism and skepticism, more like what's going on in North Korea than Christian dominionism. They want the same things. Their power comes from the same places, and they want everybody to think that, and they want nobody to hear opposing views.
Yeah, I think I had a blog post about this, I believe, a year and a half ago, and it was a Christian, it was a speech actually by Newt Gingrich, who was still a presidential candidate at that point,
yeah,
talking about a coalition attacking Christianity.
Yeah.
And this coalition was made up of atheists and Islamists.
Right.
And the most ridiculous thing is that they have far more in common with the Islamists than we do.
Absolutely.
On every level. And I kind of compared this to the Batman and Robin movie that Joel Schumacher made in the late 90s, where the bad guys fighting Batman were Poison Ivy and Mr. Freeze, one of whom wants to turn the world into the new Garden of Eden, and the other of whom wants to turn it into a glacier. And it's like, okay, so how do these two master plans work together? So the atheists and the Islamists are like, yeah, I want to create this world that has free inquiry and open discussion, and I want to have a world that has none of that. Let's team up! How does that work? How does that get out of planning stage?
Any cult of personality is a religion. North Korea is a religious state. Stalinism was basically a religion. When you have dogma in there and you have the threat of death, if you question a philosophy, that's religion or cultism.
Well,
period.
I mean, the thing is the USSR, the Communist Manifesto was their Bible, and it looked a lot like a religion.
They attributed miracles to their leaders over there too.
They did. But specifically in North Korea, with the 150 swallows coming down from heaven to mark the occasion of the birth of Kim Jong-il, and the fact that their president is dead, has gone on to the afterworld, and is just resting up so that he can come back and lead North Korea to a great victory. This is a religion. It has supernatural aspects.
Yeah, we're still officially on paper. North Korea's leader is two leaders back, and he's dead. It's Kim Il-sung.
Yeah.
So he's like the pharaoh. He never goes away. We are talking about these sort of birth stories, like you mentioned with the swallow, Sam. It's like the story they give of the Buddha's birth.
Absolutely. It's actually, that's probably the source document for it. Mm-hmm. Now, we're talking about dogma here, and it's interesting that your religious, you know, your comedy thing talking about religion is called Delivered from Dogma rather than something else. And you actually named it that before we ever started talking about this.
Yeah, I don't have any problem with faith, per se, because I have faith in a lot of things. Like, I have faith that the light switch will turn on when I walk into the room. But dogmatic faith in that would be, I flip the light switch on, it does not turn on, and I just stumble around my apartment like a drunken fool, assuming it's on anyway. And that is really a bad way of approaching life, I think, and definitely a wrong way to run a country or a school system.
Okay. I mean, I would argue the faith definition, but I think for the purposes of what you're trying to say, it makes a lot of sense, and it's an interesting story to tell.
Yeah, and that contest suit makes sense. That's probably not an accurate definition of faith. I have other ways of defining it too, like faith is just a very pretty word for gullibility. You can go either way on that.
Very nice. This is Ask an Atheist, and let's do another email. And this is Alan from Tacoma. Hello. I've been an atheist for close to 10 years now. However, my wife is a devout Catholic. Every once in a while, when I'm having a bad day, my wife tells me that I should pray. God is watching over me, etc. As an atheist, I just think this is dumb. But in all honesty, sometimes I wish I could just fool myself into believing the Bible and all that Jesus stuff. It must be nice to believe that somebody is watching over you. I'm not in denial about it. I know that I could never believe in God, but sometimes I wish I could.
I don't. I guess the first question, before I get into that part of the answer, I would say, does your wife know you're an atheist, Alan? It could be, you know, either way, I think that with any kind of relationship, there's a certain amount of compromise, and maybe if this bothers you a lot, you should just ask her, can you not bring it up when I'm obviously bothered by something? But do I wish I was not an atheist? No, I don't. And the same reason I'm glad I don't live in North Korea, because there is somebody watching over you in North Korea. There is somebody who says that he loves you and says he's going to provide all this stuff from you and offers to give you all these things until you say no to him or criticize him, and at which point he will punish you forever.
Yeah.
I don't want there to be a king of the universe. It doesn't matter to me which God you're talking about. You say, oh, well, my God is nice and much more moderate and friendly and progressive. I don't want a king of the universe. The same way I don't want a king of the United States. I don't care if the king of the United States is a great guy. I'm against kings.
Well, Jeremy, you had the choice to go one way or the other, and you chose to be...
No, I wouldn't define it as a choice. I mean, lying to yourself. It's always kind of a chicken and the egg problem when a religious person goes insane to me and does something crazy. Were they insane and then found religion, or were they insane
because of the religion, and that made them do the crazy thing.
Okay.
From deluding themselves and trying to hold all these contradictions in their head. So no, it wasn't a choice. When I started to learn to think critically, which they taught me as an approach to deconstructing evolution, and then you turn that flashlight back around on the Bible, and you're like, wow, thanks for giving me all the tools to hang myself. I'm out.
That's a textbook case of irony there.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. I did not know.
I went to the Becca Book level Christian school creationist thinking that everyone thought that Noah's Ark was a historical event.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometime in the last week or two. And so...
Man, I don't...
Then to take all those... So we studied very intensely against evolution and all the holes in it, which there aren't really that many. As an adult, you find out that you're reading mostly propaganda.
Right.
And so, yeah, all those tools for critical thinking that they taught me only to use in that small area of life, when you shine those back at the source documents, go, oh, wait, we've gotten way off this email, though.
Yeah, I guess getting to it, do you guys wish you could believe?
Do you wish there was a God? Well, we'd have to live in a whole different universe to wish there was a God. Because if there is a God now, he's horribly incompetent if you've ever even seen B-roll footage of what's going on in Africa right this minute. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
There's no God I could believe in right now and worship. No, not from what's going on from at least our point of view.
Well, that's a great way of putting it, and something I hadn't considered, which is if I'd like to believe in God, but then I'd have to go through the process that every religious person has to go through, which is the apologetic process. Yeah. They have to go back and explain.
Internal apologetics to themselves. Like, oh, yeah.
Well, that's something that we hear, especially from,
that sort of thing can drive you nuts.
I fully believe
holding
that.
Contradictions in your head like that is real, and all the shame and guilt on top of it. So
yeah, Rich on Living After Faith talks about that a lot.
He's probably better off. I don't know why anyone would marry a devoutly religious person if they are an atheist. I do not get that.
I don't
certainly
know how long
they have
married.
Children with them.
Yeah,
because that's going to be a mess.
I mean, my take on this is it just doesn't take with me. I somebody says it'd be nice to have somebody watch over me. I don't really care one way or the other about that.
I don't like when people accidentally pop open my recent tabs in Safari. You know what I mean? Like, I don't want anyone watching over me. No.
I guess if I had to choose over someone watching over me who would actually intercede on my behalf and help me, I'd much rather have Superman be real. Because Superman doesn't try to guilt me with anything.
Yeah.
Superman doesn't care, what I go about my life. He just knows that I'm falling out of a building or I'm...
With that haircut, you'd like Superman to be real? You're on the hit list.
Well, when we talk about this, this sort of universal surveillance, now we're in 1984 territory, and that always gives me the creeps.
Yeah, I can't imagine wanting that.
Yeah.
I can't imagine thinking that's a good thing. If anything, that seems like the most horrific possible reality.
Yeah, and it never took for me as I tried being religious. I started out a-religious. I tried being religious. Maybe there's just... Since I wasn't raised in that, it just never took with me. But every time I've tried thinking about it, it just doesn't seem like something I wanted to do or want. And it's not, I really can't really characterize it further than that. It's just, it doesn't take with me. It doesn't make sense to me.
I guess for me, it's the idea, do I want to be owned by something? And the answer to me is no.
That's all the time we got for today. Remember to vote on Tuesday if you live in Washington. And remember that 10:30 tonight, the Mars rover is landing. My name is Sam. With me today was Mike Gillis and Jeremy Whitman. Music is by Chris Coleman. Our production assistant is Rebecca Friedman. Post show is at Doyle's in an hour. Ask an Atheist is an NEDM Media production. Our website is askanatheist.tv. You can leave us a voicemail at 206-4009.
ALAY Liquid Tacoma, your conversation station.